This is Jim Vetzer, your host on Authentic News right here on RBN Live. The 16th day of August, 2024, you'll get an impression of what happened in Kursk. Kursk information war, U.S. lying about involvement in Kursk, blood, river of blood in Kursk. Kursk offensive devastates Ukraine. It was a blunder. Let's start with Colonel McGregor with his thoughts about what happened in Kursk. Here we go.
By a supposedly crack or top team of Ukrainian soldiers.
I think the Ukrainians received some good intelligence from us. Remember, we have space-based surveillance. We can see most everything most of the time, especially in Russia and Ukraine. I'm sure that we have our eyes on the frontline trace and also the Russian border. And they identified an area that was very, very weakly defended with only 30, 40, 50 policemen and said, this is an opportunity for you to storm across the border into an area where there's really nothing to stop you and demonstrate that you can penetrate into Russia itself. And this will create the illusion that there is still life left in the Ukrainian military and that everybody should contribute money to you. I think that.
That was the idea. Yeah, it was a PR campaign. Here's more about it, but we got to deal with the too many political campaign commercials these days. Here we go.
In Ukraine, and we should probably start off with the situation in Kursk, the operation, the Ukraine military operation in Kursk, and then we can talk about the situation that is unfolding in Donbas. So let's start with Kursk and what's going on there. The latest reports are that Zelensky is he's going to create a buffer zone, Alexander, a civil administration, and create a buffer zone. This is an amazing information war that the collective West has carried out in Kursk. But that's where it ends for the collective West. And we're going to now talk about reality as to what is going on in Kursk. So what's the situation?
Well, I think you described it exactly correctly. There is an information war. There is a massive propaganda effort. And then there is the reality. The reality is not always easy to discover, work out, because the amount of misinformation and propaganda is on such a scale now that it's sometimes very difficult to get a true sense of what's going on. And one does need a very level head. There's a number of things I would like to say, first of all, that the first point is that the Russians have pretty much officially now confirmed that the original objective of this operation, when it was launched last week, was to capture the Kursk nuclear power plant and the town of Kurchatov. Now, that operation was supposed to have been completed by the 11th of August. Today is the 15th of August. They haven't got there. We're getting lots and lots and lots of satellite pictures now showing the Russians have built lots of big fortifications in that precise area. They've sent troops there and all that. I think that by this point, we can say confidently that that part of the operation, the operation to capture the Kursk power station, has failed.
Yes, it has failed indeed. Meanwhile, RT is reporting the U.S. has been lying about its involvement. You heard the colonel saying we provided them with the intel. That's exactly what the Russians have concluded. Not good. Kiev would never have staged an operation such as the incursion into Russia's Kursk region without U.S. and NATO support. Former Security Council Secretary Nikolay Patrushev has insisted, accusing Washington of playing a role in the attack. Last week, Ukraine launched its largest attack on Russian territory since the outbreak of the conflict in February 2022. Western officials have voiced their support for the incursion into Kursk, but denied any prior knowledge. The U.S. leadership claim of non-involvement in Kursk action Kiev's actions in the Kursk region do not correspond to reality. Without their participation and direct support, Kiev would not have entered into Russian territory, Pushchev told Izvesta in an interview published on Friday. Undoubtedly, he's got it right. Meanwhile, the Truth Seeker reports, river of blood in Kursk, Ukrainian invasion force decimated, over 2,000 dead. There will be no mercy, Moscow declares. Russians, American generals plan the operation of the Ukrainians. The cordon tightens around the Ukrainian invasion force as Russia's armies, air force, artillery, and drone destroy more than 220 armored vehicles, with Kiev casualties now exceeding 2,000 men. The situation began to stabilize gradually, with Russian forces attempting to cut off and encircle the Ukrainian invasion force. The upper hand, slowly and steadily, appears to be gained by Russian forces in the areas invaded last week by Ukrainian and Western well-trained commandos. There is no stable front line in the Kursk region. The enemy is trying to gain territory in some areas, but Ukrainian troops have been successfully blocked. An official close to the governor of the Russian Kursk province announced, and he added, the situation remained difficult but controlled and manageable. Individual groups of enemy troops are destroyed and fighting continues in several areas. When Russia declares there will be no mercy, you can anticipate that will carry over to the United States. Meanwhile, we have another report coming from the Truth Seeker. Kursk offense devastates Ukraine. NATO admits collapse. Here's a video report about it.
Ukraine has been launching a literal invasion into Russia for now, what will be likely over a week, once you all watch this video. And this invasion, which of course is rubber stamped by NATO, has injected a level of enthusiasm not seen since the Western mainstream media hyped up the 2023 counteroffensive, which ended up failing. But really, we haven't seen this kind of enthusiasm for a literal action, one that is undergoing, an operation that is ongoing, since the 2022 offensive launched by Ukraine, which saw Russia have to pull back from many key areas of the front line. And of course, now we know that this was part of Russia's overall strategy, but then it was seen as a major loss from Russia. But this invasion by Ukraine is into the Kursk region, okay, which is across the Ukrainian-Russian border, right, about parallel with a Ukrainian territory called Sumy. And it is said that Ukraine had been making, beginning at the end of the first week of August, when they launched this operation, over a dozen kilometers of progress into this region. And there was also reports that missiles Ukraine was launching NATO sorties at the Kursk power plant, nuclear power plant, which Russia struck down. But if it would have hit, we would have had something much bigger than Chernobyl on our hands. That's how...
Very good. Yes, very good. And that's how serious it all is. I agree. Meanwhile, get this. A former IDF rabbi has admitted that October 7th was an inside job, that Israel orchestrated it.
Watch what steak.
We gotta,
diet. Why do people lose weight?
Sorry about this.
What's an inside job? For sure. Don't be foolish that all of a sudden they broke in 15 different places in the fence and nobody showed up for 8 hours. No intelligence, no radars, no police showed up, no army showed up, nobody came, no air force. It takes 3 minutes for an helicopter to come from a base into the border. 3 minutes. I was in the air force. F-16 in 1 minute is up. From the minute there is a siren, In 1 minute, the F-16 is already up, ready to shoot anyone. An helicopter is faster, right away. Nobody showed up, no helicopters, no F-16, nothing. Has to be an inside job. These lefty liberals are the big enemy. And I've been saying it for more than 20 years. Are you exaggerating? Fortunately, everything I said was...
That may be the most honest and candid admission about October 7th will ever get. Meanwhile, the numbers show the Gaza war is one of the bloodiest in the 21st century. The numbers are staggering. As the Gaza death toll approaches 40,000, honestly, I think it's closer to 200. Peretz examines the data from a global perspective. The rate and pace of deaths, as well as living conditions of those still alive, overshadow the conflicts in Iraq, Ukraine, and Myanmar. One of the favorite arguments of PM Minister Netanyahu and other Israeli spokespeople is to accuse the international community of hypocrisy concerning the war in the Gaza Strip and claim it's ignoring other conflicts and humanitarian disasters. Where was South Africa when millions were killed or expelled from their homes in Syria and Yemen, said Netanyahu in January. But a cold examination of the numbers killed in the Gaza Strip reveals this is one of the bloodiest wars since the beginning of the century, especially if you examine the rate of mortality out of the total population. Close to 40,000 have been killed in the Gaza Strip since October 7th. I reiterate, I think it's much, much higher in percentage terms. That's 2% of the population of about 2 million. In terms of the total number of dead, I assume Gaza won't be among the most 10 most violent conflicts of the 21st century. Professor Michael Spaggett of the University of London told Haaretz. But compared to the percentage of the population killed, he assumes it's already in the top five. Spaggett is a researcher of war and non-conflict, monitors the number of casualties in conflicts. If we factor in the amount of time it took to kill 1% of the population, then it could be unprecedented, the rate of death. Meanwhile, the Saudi crown prince tells the U.S. he fears he will be assassinated for normalizing Saudi-Israeli ties. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is telling U.S. lawmakers here feels he'll be assassinated for selling out the Arab world by normalizing ties with Israel. From Politico, Saudi Arabia's de facto ruler, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS as he's known, knows a thing or two about assassination. Lately he's been telling U.S. lawmakers he has risked himself. The Saudi royal has mentioned a member of Congress he's putting his life in danger by pursuing a grand bargain with the U.S. and Israel that includes normalizing Saudi-Israeli ties. On at least one occasion, he has invoked Anwar Sadat, the Egyptian leader slain after striking a peace deal with Israel, asking what the U.S. did to protect Sadat. He's also discussed the threats he faces, explaining why any such deal must include a true path to a Palestinian state, especially now that the war in Gaza has heightened Arab fury toward Israel. He's speaking the truth. Meanwhile, Jordan, which turns out to be an Israeli ally, using cybercrime laws against pro-Palestine sentiment, Amnesty International reports. Jordanian authorities are using the country's new cybercrime law to stifle expression, particularly pro-Palestinian sentiment. The leading human rights organization Amnesty International has found at least 15 persons have been prosecuted under the law after criticizing authorities online. The cybercrime law enacted on 13 August 2023 introduced several amendments to the existing 2015 law, including allowing the prosecution of individuals without a personal complaint when the offense is related to governmental figures or entities. The scope of crimes is also deemed broad, and people can be prosecuted for accusations such as spreading fake news, provoking strife, threatening societal peace, and contempt for religion. Under the pretext of protecting the digital space, Jordanian authorities have escalated their blatant assault on the right of freedom of expression, association, and peaceful assembly in the country, using overly broad provisions, said Aya Majuzum, Amnesty International Deputy Director for the Middle East and North Africa. They've got it right. Any kind thoughts you may have had toward Jordan, you want to qualify. Meanwhile, here's Colonel McGregor on Western leadership, or the pretense thereof.
General, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
We're certainly living in interesting times, and the world is, I guess we both know, is at a very critical juncture. How much of where we're at, Colonel, is due to maybe a lack of leadership from the West?
Well, I don't know. It depends on how you define the leadership. Usually in the United States, we define leadership as bullying other countries into doing what we would like them to do. And I think that's been largely the case since 1965. People would argue that we engaged in some of that in the 50s, and I think that's partially true. But in the 50s, we were normally acting to prevent communist parties from seizing control in places like Italy or Greece or Iran or other countries. Sometimes the intervention made sense and sometimes it did not. But we were not actively bullying people into a particular strategic direction at the time. We didn't have to, because we were effectively the last man standing at the end of the Second World War.
Yeah.
Everyone else was exhausted and worn out. We represented something like 60-70% of world gross domestic product. Today, it's down to, I think, 30%.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very different world then, and it was only natural and hopeful, frankly, that the rest of the world would eventually recover from the destructive experience of the Second World War. I think that's happened. We've never adapted to that. And we have chosen to ignore it because we don't like it. Whatever we can't control and dominate, we tend to treat as either an enemy state or a potential adversary. That's been going on since we intervened in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the big problems to the United States. You can be friends with us as long as you don't dispute anything that we do, and you do pretty much what we prefer that you do. And when you don't, you're in trouble. We use our global financial prowess to punish you. We use the SWIFT system to punish you.
Yeah.
We enact sanctions against you. So when you talk about the leadership from the West, I don't think there's leadership anywhere else but from us, but it's bad. Whatever leadership we used to get, I think pretty much ended with Harold Macmillan in Britain. He was the last one who made any sense and stood up and said, have you lost your minds? Why are you going to Vietnam if you think we're going to follow you? You've got another thing coming. That's when de Gaulle was in France and effectively said the same thing and said, this NATO plan has no long-term future. Get out of France. I could get down the list. You know, we had a different set of actors with a different set of values and experience. You know, one of the things that we talk about national level.
Health Simple with Kalwada Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilajit, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilajit is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilajit makes other substances more effective.
Look for the Gold Mountain and Medical Symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Well, we already have a report that over 30,000 Antifa members have arrived in the Chicago area, with approximately 500 to 850 more arriving each day. They are going to make a mega presence. Meanwhile, Chicago braces for chaos. Courtrooms prepared for mass arrests. The Chicago police expect as many as 100,000 pro-Palestinian protesters during the DNC. The 2024 Democrat National Convention is scheduled to take place from August 19th through the 22nd. The event will be held in Chicago. The convention is expected to celebrate Kamala as a presumptive Democrat nominee for president, and Tim Walz as a nominee for vice. However, the city is bracing for what could be a perfect storm of chaos, with a possibility of up to 100,000 pro-Hamas, really anti-genocide, flooding the streets. The Chicago Police Department is preparing for the worst. I hate when they spin it and misrepresent the American people who are objecting to genocide as being therefore pro-Hamas. According to WGN9, leaders of four Muslim organizations say they're expecting upwards of 100,000 demonstrators to take part in a number of protests during the Democrat National Convention. You can anticipate it is going to be mayhem. Meanwhile, Corey Lewandowski has returned to the Trump campaign. Here's a question, an article about what it means. The veteran 2016 bare knuckle tactics are back in style. Corey Lewandowski is back in the headline after the 2016 campaign manager was tapped as a senior advisor Thursday in a move that puts a hard-charging politico back in the fray alongside senior advisors Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles. The move has been brewing for some time. The Trump family had expressed growing frustration with a slow response to the Democrats' bait and switch candidate swap and jealous competing power centers within the mid-level ranks of the campaign have only added to the irritation. LaCivita and Wiles still have their jobs and have voiced public approval of the new hires, but it's hard to miss that the two veteran politicos promised an orderly operation and thus far have not delivered. While talks to bring in Lewandowski and were in motion this past weekend, they've quickly progressed toward action. The new addition began making moves Thursday to reassemble his 2016 team, tapping original talent that had been boxed out or moved on in the hope of recreating the team of old-school loyalists, former President Trump trusts, and building in the campaign's internal muscle. This is, in my opinion, a good move, much deserved, because the Democrats are cheating in every possible way. Now, here's a report I don't like at all. Trump pledges to restore Israeli lobby's power over Congress. You're going to have the president, okay? Bad, bad, bad. Former President Donald Trump pledged to restore the power of the Israeli lobby over Congress during a fighting anti-Semitism event with pro-Israeli mega donor Miriam Adelson on Thursday. Let's listen.
And if you said, let's say 15 years ago, maybe not even that long, anything bad about Israel or Jewish people, you were finished as a politician, right? You were finished. You wouldn't do that, Congressman. You wouldn't do it anyway, but nobody would do it. The most powerful lobby in this country by far was Israel and Jewish people. Today, it's almost like, what happened? What happened? What happened to Schumer? What happened to all these people? Schumer's like a Palestinian, right? He's a Palestinian. You got to remember that. The power, Miriam, of this lobby, this powerful, and it was for good, not for bad, of being Jewish and of Israel. And unfortunately, they're not necessarily the same, because you have Jewish people living in New York who really don't support. You look at the New York Times and they do not support Israel. And I don't think they support Jewish people. You want to know the truth. And you wonder where it all came from. But why did it come? And they have to get together. They have to be strong. Because it's never been under attack like this. It's never been under siege like this. But 15 years ago, it was the absolute most powerful. You couldn't have an AOC plus three. They wouldn't have a chance of being elected anywhere. And today you have AOC and some of these people, and they're pretty violent. They're pretty violent, and they hate Israel, and they hate Jewish people. And you're going to end up winning because you're going to have the president, okay? So you're going to end up winning. But you do have people, and it's amazing.
Just terrible. They're going to have the president. Any criticism of Israel that is warranted is welcome. Welcome here. We're all Palestinians today.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hemp paste. Hemp paste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Well, if you thought Israel had worn out the victim card, played on behalf of Jews endlessly over the Holocaust myth or any other excuse where they frequently fabricate attacks on synagogues, pay somebody $50 to get a can of spray paint and put up a swastika so they can claim there's anti-Semitism, they're manufacturing 99% of it themselves. Count on the Washington Post. UCLA must ensure protesters don't block Jewish students' access to campus. No one gives a damn about who is Jewish or non-Jewish on the campuses. I guarantee you, it has never been an issue. A federal judge has forbidden the University of California, Los Angeles from permitting campus protests that block Jewish students' access to the school grounds. But if they blocked it, it had nothing to do with Jewish students. In a preliminary injunction issued Wednesday, Judge Mark Scarsi determined the university could not allow any activities or programs or access to parts of campus if those activities, programs, or parts of campus were not accessible to all students, including Jewish attendees. Scarsi, who was appointed by former President Donald Trump, made his ruling in a lawsuit brought by three Jewish students who had sued the university for its handling of a rash of pro-Palestinian protests in the spring. Well, they have not handled the protests well because they've been criticizing sincere students objecting to genocide. If you cannot speak out against genocide, what is it you can speak out against? This is just awful. Meanwhile, the question arises, pro-Palestinian camps protest. What have they achieved so far? Middle East Eye reporting. The war on Gaza set in motion a mass Palestinian solidarity movement among university students in the U.S. that eventually spread across the globe. While it's difficult to track precise numbers, Harvard's identified protest activity over 525 different academic institutions, universities, and school district offices in the U.S., which I applaud. They estimate encampments were present at more than 130 of them. Good. Figures from The Guardian show a total of 36 encampments were set up across England, Wales, and Scotland. An interactive map tracking student protests suggested 174 encampments were erected. 247 protest actions were held across 35 different countries. All good. The more, the better. Meanwhile, and this is to me almost bizarre, targeting Trump, Palm Beach mayor explores closing Mar-a-Lago. How bad is this? So it seems we're onto the left's latest attempt to harass President Trump. This time it comes in the form of Palm Beach Mayor Danielle Moore. The supposed issue is that the Secret Service closed South Ocean Boulevard, which runs along Trump's estate, Mar-a-Lago, yet the club remains open. And Mayor Moore doesn't like it. She has actually directed the town council to research whether it could close Mar-a-Lago until the road reopens. Note the boys and girls language. Here's a tweet about it. I don't like this at all. Breaking. The mayor of Long Beach is considering shutting down Mar-a-Lago and kicking Trump out of his own home. In my mind, if the road is closed, the Mar-a-Lago club is closed, and we can't have it both ways, boys and girls. Mayor Deanna Morris. Unbelievable. Disgusting. The Democrats will stoop to nothing. Meanwhile, Vance and Walz agree to an October 1st debate. That should be interesting. Believe me. Vance will slice and dice this guy so there's nothing left but a pile of putty. I guarantee you. This Walz is a complete nut job, a left-wing lunatic. While I'm not enthusiastic about Vance, he has an incisive mind, and I guarantee you there's going to be nothing left of Walz after this exchange. Thus, a much-anticipated debate between Senator J.D. Vance and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz appears to be on as both vice presidential candidates have agreed to a CBS proposal for an October 1st face-off. The network issued a statement on August 14th that it had invited both VP candidates to take part in a debate in New York City, presenting both campaigns with four dates. Walz accepted the invitation and message on X, writing, "See you on October 1st, JD. That should be something. Bring your popcorn and beer. That's going to be a doozy." Meanwhile, get this. I'm not sure if any of my readers want to apply to join the Kamala Harris for President campaign. However, if you are considering applying, be aware the campaign requires its workers to be COVID vaxxed and up to date on all the COVID shots. How great is that? Join the Harris campaign and get the death shot. Terrific. I don't know how many of those campaign workers are going to be around for very long. Bad, bad, bad. Meanwhile, Higgins report on the attempted assassination part two covering the water tower and the second shooter theory. A preliminary report on the July 13, 2024 assassination attempt on former President Trump reveals disturbing lapses by federal authorities. There is a serious question about the integrity of the investigation. Congressman Clay Higgins of Louisiana, member of the House Task Force on the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump, authored the report after spending 20 hours on the ground in Butler County, Pennsylvania, meticulously examining the crime scene. The report dates August 12th and addressed to Task Force Chairman Mike Kelly exposes a series of alarming actions or inactions by the FBI that appear to undermine the investigation credibility. In other words, the FBI isn't going to cooperate because the FBI was complicit in setting it up. This may even have been an FBI op. That's what this really is telling us. Have no doubts about it. The FBI and the Secret Service, in my opinion, collaborated together for this effort. And it was only because the Trump campaign learned about it and was able to flip the script that the guy survived, my opinion. Meanwhile, man who survived Trump rally shooting speaks out for the first time. A Trump supporter injured during the assassination attempt has spoken out for the first time. David Dutch, a Pennsylvania native and former U.S. Marine, issued a statement via attorney saying he was grateful for the support he's received as he recovers from severe injuries suffered at the hands of would-be assassin Thomas Matthew Crooks. Mr. Dutch was placed in a medically induced coma after ongoing surgery for severe damage to his chest and liver. And if this is all legitimate reporting, and I will grant that more was going on than I've been inclined to believe. Dutch was struck by Crooks' bullet while positioned behind the stage at the Pennsylvania event, along with 74-year-old James Copenhaver, who was shot twice. Mr. Copenhaver is still recuperating. Both men have retained attorneys to help them navigate a challenging period of their lives. Yes, we'll see how that plays out. Meanwhile, a Secret Service agent left her post to breastfeed during a Trump campaign event in Asheville, North Carolina. Get that. She left to breastfeed. A Secret Service is investigating a report a female agent left her post at a Trump campaign event in North Carolina to breastfeed. The Secret Service acknowledged the allegation and issued a statement to Fox saying an investigation was underway. Obviously, that's not part of the protective policy for a presidential candidate. Meanwhile, Trump has put Democrats on notice about using the attempt to assassinate him as an excuse to push gun control. Democrats live by the motto, never let a crisis go to waste. It's especially true when it comes to mass shootings of any kind of firearm-related tragedy. And Donald Trump put Democrats on notice about using his assassination attempt as an excuse to push gun control. He almost lost his life on July 13th, or so we're given to believe, when an assassin fired a bullet at his head. He turned at the last second, causing the bullet to just miss. Since a would-be assassin was a 20-year-old male, alleged to have used an AR-15, it didn't take long for Democrats to start pushing their agenda. But wasn't just Biden calling for gun control. During an appearance late night with Stephen Colbert, U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, urged her colleagues to ban so-called assault weapons in a show of unity. Absurd. It's not an assault weapon, which are fully automatic in the first place. Plus, the Supreme Court has already ruled that even military weapons are permissible for ownership by American civilians. That's what the Second Amendment was all about. All they had in the days of our founding fathers were muskets that were military weapons. And the Second Amendment was deliberately intended to cover ownership by the people, which could serve as an emergency army to come to the nation's defense in a time of emergency. FBI finally probes alleged Iranian attack, a hack on Trump. Listen, none of this Iranian stuff is bona fide. None of it is real. It's all part of a Netanyahu attempt to demonize Iran. Meanwhile, here we have what's supposed to be the untold story behind Biden's sudden exit, that Pelosi issued a ruthless ultimatum to Joe Biden. Bullshit. This is utter nonsense. Pelosi had nothing to do with it. Joe died flying into Las Vegas, or should I say the fake Joe died flying into Las Vegas. It's only afterwards that we got the unexpected letter withdrawing from the race, not on White House stationery, with a forged signature. Remember? And then they trotted out the new fake Joe Biden, who's 4 inches taller. Remember, Jimmy Dore called it out just as I have called it out.
Chicago and Grand Rapids in Chicago, it's stand-up and a live panel show. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for tickets, and make sure you go to JimmyDore.com. So I'm going to show you this video, and you tell me what seems odd about it. So here comes Joe Biden. First of all, he's walking really briskly. And is it me, or is he 6 inches taller than he normally is? He looks about six, because he's supposed to be 6 feet tall. But his wife usually isn't that short.
Remember, I mean, Joe's dead, so they had to get a new Joe, and they had to fabricate a cover story. Here we even have InfoWars asking, how many Joe Bidens are there? Pretty good question, all things considered. How many Joe Bidens are there? Meanwhile, Representative James Comer has been tweeting about a Biden cover-up. A State Department sat on information related to the Biden family's influence peddling schemes for years. Just a week after dumping Joe Biden, they're starting to come clean. How disgusting is that? How disgusting. Meanwhile, the feds planted the pipe bomb on January 6th. Get this. Very interesting development.
Why were these individuals, let's start with Thomas Crooks, how did Thomas Crooks get the training to build pipe bombs?
That's a huge question. And I'll tell you, as soon as I found out, as soon as they reported that he had explosive devices, I went, here we go. Same thing as Gretchen Whitmer. Recalling Gretchen Whitmer, Benny, that as this group that they had targeted started to fall apart, they embedded an undercover FBI employee who posed as an explosives expert to show the guys, hey, we can really do this. We can blow up Gretchen Whitmer, this bridge leading to her house, you know, so law enforcement can't get there. They showed in September of 2022, the group of targets, they showed a video by this FBI undercover employee, and this is important, of an SUV being blown up. You know who produced that video, Benny? Yes.
The FBI?
FBI did. This is the extent that they will go to, really endangering people. Gretchen Whitmer should be irate at the FBI, because you have this group, you're goading and goading, and then at the end, here, we can make explosives. We're going to go buy all the elements to do it. Of course, the same thing now with J6 and now the Thomas Crooks thing. How did this 20-year-old kid, and now they don't have any chat messages. They said he had an encrypted chat app, but, oh, we can't get into it. Baloney. I've seen this in J6. This is impossible. We're supposed to believe there is, Benny, there is no doubt in my mind that Thomas Crooks was in communications with probably an FBI informant, undercover agent, or an asset from another department, including DHS. He was.
That's further confirmation of my suggestion, my conjecture, that the FBI and Secret Service were in on it at Butler. Meanwhile, here's an interesting piece from the Epoch Times. Fake images are everywhere. Here's how to spot them. Definitely worth watching. Remember, we reported how that huge crowd on the tarmac in Detroit greeting Kamala Harris plane, when David Zublik, who lives in Detroit, called out to the airport, pedestrians, civilians aren't even allowed on the tarmac. And they must have had a group. They had a group of many thousand that were photoshopped in. It's disgusting. Here's the article a bit. As artificial intelligence continues to develop, it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between real photographs and AI-generated images. AI can create everything from stunning landscape to lifelike portraits in a matter of moments. And at first glance, they may appear perfectly legitimate. In this age of misinformation, how can you discern if the images you're seeing are real or fabricated? And they discuss subtle clues that enable you to draw the difference.
Waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All alone.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, you know. How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, you know, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1 ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10 ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here are the final five stories for today, the last two personal. U.S. Justice Department reportedly considered breaking up Google. DOD defies order to clean up forever chemicals in Arizona. Danish drug maker ready to cash in with 10 million monkeypox vaccine doses set for production. following the World Health Organization Global Health Emergency Declaration, SGT report, Sandy Hook, Black Mirror, Dr. James Fetzer, and new book just out on my legal case. Let me mention, this is entitled The Judicial Plundering of Dr. James H. Fetzer, co-editor and co-author of the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook by Ronald F. Avery. It's inexpensive, very good. You'll find the link there. And if you want about what it's about, the SGT report is simply excellent about my case. Here's how it begins.
Watch what protein shakes do. To
if we once we skip
protein drink, you've got almond butter.
This guy's good.
Did you see this man in that court in Madison, Wisconsin?
Oh, sure. And of course, during the oral deposition, I was there the whole time. That took over 3 hours. And when the trial for damages, he was in the courtroom with me, too. He was there at the table for the plaintiff.
Okay. So this man, purported to be Leonard Posner, was in Madison, Wisconsin, in court with Fetzer. But then 60 minutes peddles this guy out and tells the American people that's Leonard Posner? Is that
what you
think? Did that actually air on 60 Minutes? Did they ever broadcast
it? Oh, sure. Absolutely, 100%. Yes, it did.
Hey, friends. Welcome back. Thank you so very much for Click and Play. Sean from SGT Report here. That was my friend Dr. James Fetzer, another persecuted patriot. He joins a long list of patriots now being persecuted by a criminal government. Dr. Fetzer is being persecuted for daring to question what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary in December of 2012. And this one has a couple of absolutely mind-blowing moments in it, information that you've never heard that will make you think this has to be an episode of Black Mirror. Buckle up. I think this is an extremely important broadcast, and I thank you for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor.
Let me just say this was a wonderful interview. And I encourage everyone to check it out. It's on my Twitter account, at Jim Fetzer. It's on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. It's, of course, everywhere SGT Report is published. It's the latest. Truly, truly excellent. Going through the major reasons that I was deprived of my right to a trial by jury because the judge systematically denied admitting the proof I had that exonerated me from the beginning. It should never have gone to a summary judgment because of the massive disputed facts. You'll read about it, you'll learn, and you'll weep at the state of the judiciary in Wisconsin today.
I'm Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I'll be there, Jane.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello.
Welcome to the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live, where I take your calls this 16th day of August, 2024. We begin with Laura in Michigan. Laura, join the conversation.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that name that you said during your monologue, Susan Wiles, was it? She's the one that Kelly Nelson said was so bad as an advisor. You watch, she and Corey Lewandowski are going to get into it. Or she's going to try to get rid of Corey.
Ah, very, very interesting, Laura. Very interesting.
Right.
I think that's very instructive. It may be why Trump has brought Corey back, that she's actually this. Is Susie Wiles, is that who you're talking about?
That's right, exactly.
Tell me more about her.
Just that she's in the UN and she's in the DIE or whatever. All that DGEI.
Yeah.
All that, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. How did she get in that position in the first place?
I have no idea. Who knows how Trump picks people?
Yeah, I'm troubled by
Maybe
that.
Maybe she said she really admired him or something, you know?
Yeah, but blowing smoke just doesn't cut it.
I think it does with him, though.
Yeah, well, maybe. Right.
We'll just watch to see if they don't clash or she tries to get rid of him.
Okay.
I think
it'd be more likely Corey would get rid of her, actually, Laura. That would be my guess.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope you're right. You'd do better getting back the old gang, you know?
Yes.
Of course, you can't get back Bannon because he's in prison.
Right. Give us more thoughts, Laura.
All I got to say is that article about that 1995 was with the horse, you know, semen. That comes up
on
the Greenway Sunset. So my son figured it out with Wall's age. We thought maybe it was going to be some kind of kid prank or something. But the guy was 31 years old when this happened.
What was going on? What was he doing committing such an absurd feat? Drinking horse semen. Tell me, Laura.
You got me. I have no idea.
Just embarrassing.
They're Democrats.
Yeah. Unreal, Laura.
It comes up third when you put it in. So he was 31 years old. It makes a big difference. My son said, well, maybe if he was a kid, it was a dare or something, he could understand it. But not when you were 31.
Yes. Laura, thank you. That was very appropriate. I'm glad you added all that.
Okay, thank you.
Now, listen, the lines are open. We have one other caller standing by, but the lines are completely open. If you've never called before, this is a great time to call in. If you got something on your mind you want to get off your chest, great time to call in. Meanwhile, Frances, silly girl in North Carolina, join the conversation.
Hey, young man. I'm out shopping at the moment, so you have to overlook me. For one thing, yes, the silly Viking gal at your disservice. And yes, I'm out shopping at the moment, so you have to overlook the sounds of not so nature, but civilization and process. There's a lot going on with that political scene and so forth, but I have to admit, there was one thing that was brought to my attention recently that really got my goat, as it were, dare I say. A lot of various talk show hosts do not like to address this thing about the Project 2025. And on top of that, Trump likes to distance himself from it and so forth, which is, like, really ridiculous. But you know something? When I'm just trying to figure out one thing. They said about that Genocide Joe was senile or mentally incompetent or whatever have you to be running for office, and thus they're promoting Harris. Now, my question is this. If that was the case, and yet, trying to promote this thing of 2025, which basically would violate freedom of religion, freedom of, you know, freedom of the press or whatever, freedom of speech, and so forth, then I'm curious about one thing. Is Trump either really stupid or senile or a liar, for that matter, regarding that situation? Because he has to pick one or the other as far as that goes. Because people say, well, you know, you have no choice but to pick him, pick him. Excuse me, but he is not the next best thing since sliced bread. Especially for someone who's either lying that he knows nothing about it, or is either senile himself, or whatever the case is, or mentally incapable of deciding and has to have someone else to do it for him, and so forth. There are a lot of the politicians up in the district, criminals, they're more than capable of running for office. It's just a matter of which multi-billionaire whatever is backing them up financially and promoting them, like I don't know what. So I'm just curious as to what your sentiment is about that, because when I saw that and heard about it and looked it up and researched, I was like, this really is galling.
Well, repeat what it is he think you lead him, it's led you to think he's lying or senile?
Well, his response in light of Project 2025, that's supposed to go into effect the moment or the day that he is inaugurated or wins the vote or whatever. The problem is that it's already been put in place and everything. There is an interview going that occurred with one fella that is dealing with this. His last name is Vaught, V-O-U-G-H-T. I'm trying to remember what his first name was. And basically talks about what is going on, what's to happen, and so forth. And quite frankly, it's very telling who would be affected, who would not be affected. And so basically comes down to is that if you're not of a certain ethnic background, a certain religion, and so forth, then you need to vacate the U.S. You would be removed. You would have to be kicked out of the U.S. Now, let me get this straight. As far as ethnicity goes, the U.S. is a mixed bag or a melting pot of a lot of different cultures and people. As far as religion goes, if I recall, there was freedom of religion. And when people start talking about what the founding fathers were, yes, there may have been one or two Christians in that batch, but the rest were deists, if not atheists, if not Gnostics, or so forth. So this whole aspect of, you know, this being a one-religion nation, excuse me, I don't think so. If that was the case, then they should have stayed back in England, period. Well, it was only one religion, that's it, you know? I mean, start to think about logically, this is defying logic.
So yes. Listen, Laura, I don't know the answer on this Project 25. Perhaps another caller will, but I appreciate hearing from you, and I wish you well in your shopping venture. Take care of business.
Thank you. And you have a fun weekend.
Thank you. Thank you, Francis. Take care. Well, meanwhile, while we're waiting for other callers, let's pick up on Colonel McGregor talking about Western leadership.
Long-term future, get out of France. I could go down the list. You know, we had a different set of actors with a different set of values and experience. You know, one of the things, if you talk about leadership at the national level, and I often do, I sometimes say the last president who really had a grasp of all the things that are important to be a good president was really Eisenhower.
Okay.
Now, Eisenhower was not a particularly good general. In fact, I think he was a pretty poor general.
Right, okay.
Didn't do very well during the Second War, but then again, we had a very weak bench. We didn't have much talent. The most talented and intelligent man who had the best grasp strategically of everything was Douglas MacArthur. And FDR did everything he could to minimize him and stuck him out in the Western Pacific in the hopes that the world would not hear much from him. But Eisenhower was sort of a debutante. He was somebody that looked good. He modeled well on the stage. He wasn't the only one. And Marshall picked him and sent him over, but Marshall had a lot of trouble with him. But the thing that distinguished Eisenhower from many of his peers was that Eisenhower learned from every mistake he made. He learned about how things really operate in the international system. He began to understand the people that he was dealing with. So when he became president of the United States, he was really ready to handle the job. And you'll recall that he ran specifically on a platform that implied he would end the Korean War. He never said he would do that, but that was the implication. And of course, he said, I will go to Korea and I will have an answer and I will do what is in the interest of the American people. So he did. And he got over there and he was immediately given a briefing by General Mark Clark, one of the people that emerged from the Second World War as a four-star. And Clark gave him this briefing in 1952, early 53, actually, and said, well, Mr. President, what we need now are 890,000 troops so that we can launch a major invasion of China, march in through Manchuria and around and down into Beijing, and we will win the war. And Eisenhower listened politely, and then he walked out of the tent with his military assistant. He said, Clark has lost his mind. The American people have absolutely no interest in a major war with China. Yeah. In fact, someday we may want to get along with China, regardless of what the government is at the moment. We don't want a war with the Chinese. So Bill Jersey said, sir, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to politely end this the best way I possibly can. So he immediately said, forget it. Well, of course, the opinion polls at that point in the United States, about 58, 59% were adamantly opposed to the war and said, what the hell are we doing there? We had no business being there. This is when most Americans paid attention and thought that we belonged in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Novel idea. And Eisenhower tended to agree with that, but Eisenhower understood we inherited a lot of obligations for the Second War, and we couldn't just pack up and leave everywhere. But he came to a resolution of the conflict. It wasn't easy. We got out, and we left very few forces behind, and we set up what turned out to be a relatively stable situation on the peninsula. And then subsequently, when he signed on for NATO, he said, if NATO still exists 10 years after we found it, it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, this is not the way forward with the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union will inevitably change. He, of course, had listened to George Kennan. And George Kennan told him, no, we don't want to go to war with the Soviets, but we want to wait them out. The system itself will implode. Of course, I think he and others thought it would implode a little sooner than it did, but ultimately it did implode on its own. All this business about Ronald Reagan beat the Soviets and won the Cold War is a lot of crap. The Soviet system was destined to doom. Anybody who studied it knew that. It was just a question of when. So, you know, we misinterpret things to flatter ourselves. And George Kennan said, most of what we do in foreign policy is designed to flatter ourselves. And we suffer from an acute case of national narcissism. In fact, I think it's as bad, if not worse, than the case that once afflicted Britain during the outbreak of World War I. The same sort of mentality.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the men, we've got the ships, we've got the money too, kind of nonsense. But Eisenhower understood that. He did understand economics. He understood what had to happen, and so he cut spending. He cut back on the armed forces at a point in time when everybody insisted we had to spend more. And he used to hold very interesting sort of seminars once a month with the Joint Chiefs, and they hated to meet with him because he'd been a four-star general. He knew what went on in the Pentagon. And they would sit there, and they would say, you know, one said, well, sir, we need 26 divisions to deal with the Soviets when they attack in Europe. And then he said, well, that's interesting. How many ships do you have and how many aircraft do you have and how many troops can you ship over there in time to meet the threat if it materializes? So they said, well, I don't know. So we go back and find out. Well, he returned and said, well, we could move 15,000 men. He said, good, that's your requirement. Shut up. And of course, he was first to point out that how are you going to get across the Atlantic with the Soviets?
Yeah.
You know, they had these things called submarines. Everybody had forgotten from 1939 to 1943. How many years is that? 4 years to defeat the German U-boat threat.
Mm.
Today, the threat is infinitely greater and more potent. So how are you going to reinforce anything? So he had, you know, he was a practical man, and he was looking for practical solutions. He wanted to keep things not necessarily in a frozen state, but stable. And he strongly supported Austria's bid for neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, of course, Austria broke away from Germany after World War II.
Yep.
And finally, Kreisky, who was Bruno Kreisky, who was the chancellor, said, you know, it's time for us to get these Russians out of here. How do we get the Russians out? They said, well, we become neutral. And they put together a very good treaty. The treaty was circulated to Eisenhower. He looked at it. They circulated it to Moscow. Moscow agreed. Eisenhower agreed. You know what? Eisenhower said, well, thank God, that's a front we don't have to worry about. And he said, perhaps we should neutralize more states in Eastern Europe because we Americans can't possibly defend them all.
Mm.
Gee, what a novel way to think. You know, he did not see any danger whatsoever to neutrality in that sense. He saw it as a positive thing. And of course, Austrian neutrality has worked very well.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons that you go to somebody like Orban in Hungary and says, you've lost your minds. There's no reason to fight these people. I know these people. We could have had Ukraine neutralized just as Austria was. And Austria has thrived as a result of neutrality. They have a higher standard of living now for the first time in their history than Germany. The Germans always looked down on the Austrians as, you know, they're the Alabamans. You know, they're the poor Southerners. Not anymore. They live back.
Let me say, I love the Colonel, and we'll return to him if we have not more callers, but I'm thrilled to have Joe here from Florida. Joe, your calls are always welcome. The floor is yours.
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, so I wanted to point your attention. I don't know if you've seen this yet, but Scott Ritter had an amazing interview on RT this afternoon. And what he's saying is this about the Kursk attack. Now, you know, he was a Marine military intelligence officer, so he knows a lot of this stuff. He says that this attack by the Ukraine government forces is all the hallmarks of a NATO and a U.S. operation. In other words, the signs of it, the way they get the data, and the coordination of it is just not at all something that Ukraine forces could have done on their own.
Yeah.
And so he says, and this is to me, I don't know why this isn't the headline. This should be the headline on every newscast, on every newspaper, on every call-in show, on every media outlet. And Scott Ritter says, quote, the NATO and the U.S. have invaded Russia.
Yes.
And it's a good point to be aware of because, you know, the way this psyop media world that we live in is, right. It's like what they do with Israel, right? You never report when Israel bombs Palestinians. When the Palestinians respond, oh, my God, these Palestinians are initiating an attack, right? The same thing with Ukraine, okay? Now, this is a NATO-U.S. attack. Now, if they have invaded Russia, which it is, Kursk is Russia proper, there's no reason in the world that Vladimir Putin does not have a right to bomb the United States, okay? I mean, that is an absolute right. We have invaded NATO yes. and U.S., pretending that it's Kiev. And yeah. Somehow people are unaware of it. I'm shocked. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're making a great point, Joe. Scott Ritter is so aware of these matters. I'm a huge fan. I'm really glad you're bringing this up. Joe, stick around. We got a break. I want to bring you on. Keep us going. Hang on.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California. 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. If you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
I need somebody, help. Not just anybody, help. You know I need someone, help. I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind, I'll open up the doors.
Joe, you're making such important points here, or should I say conveying important points Scott Ritter has made. Yes, this is likely to change the whole equation as to how Russia looks at the West. If Russia is actually invading Russia, that's a matter of national security. They could launch a full-blown nuclear attack on all NATO countries, including the United States, in retaliation.
Exactly. And they would be justified. They'd be justified. Oh, I just want to make a note to my good friend, my buddy Tom from Florida, a little bit south of me, who said the other day, I agree almost everything Tom says, but talked about, he was saying that attitude like, oh, I don't care what's going on in Ukraine. I don't care what's going on in Israel. Well, you know, my friend Tom, I don't want to speak to him, but to everybody, I feel the same way. I'm an American first. So why do I have to be concerned with all these other countries? But the fact is, these Jews, yes, I said it, that are running our State Department and our whole government are causing problems all over the world that is going to kill Americans. I mean, it's only a matter of time. If you invade Russia, okay, which we've done, if you invade Russia, you're putting a grave risk. And I might just point out, last I heard, I don't know if they're still there, but there was not that long ago, Russia had nuclear-enabled ships over in Havana, which is only about 90 miles away from my friend Thomas Ford. Just as an FYI, I think that's the reason why we pay attention to these things.
I think Putin has been so patient with the West. We've lied, cheated, deceived. The Minsk agreement, a perfect illustration, claiming to negotiate in good faith while we were arming Ukraine for an invasion or attack of Russia. I think he may be running out of patience, but he knows the consequences are going to be so enormous. I think the West may be giving him no options, Joe. We may give him no options than to attack us. We're doing it.
This is exactly right. The Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. That's American foreign policy, right?
Yeah.
Somehow, right, if Putin sends a missile to London or somewhere, oh, then all of a sudden they're going to be the victims. London's very involved in this too, and the U.S. So somehow we're going to be victims after we've been provoking him for 2 years and now literally invading. It's an important point to remember. These are not border regions which are being fought. This is the actual territory of Russia that we have invaded. It's an outrageous provocation.
Yes.
Did you
catch this story that Trump is pledging to restore the Israeli lobby power over Congress, that you're going to have the president? Trump saying that? It is unbelievable.
I tell you, Jim, I heard that clip and I thought, I don't want to hear this, but it pushed me so far because now, honestly, I'm at the breaking point. That was so disgusting. Here he is bowing down to Miriam Adelson, the sickening Jewish mafioso woman, right? She's carrying on the bloodthirsty legacy of her disgusting Jewish mafia husband, right? And saying, oh, it's our duty to go to war against Iran. You know, Miriam Adelson, where are your army boots? Where are you putting on your boots, right? Are you going to go fight? I don't think so.
I don't know what to do about this. This is so awful. I'd have friends suggest if the Democrats are smart, they'll enlist RFK Jr. as their nominee. That might change everything.
I don't know.
I'm disgusted with these statements by Trump. And I'm disgusted with the Democrat Party. What the hell do we do, Joe?
Yeah, I'm hesitating to say who I'm going to vote for because in the end, you know, if it's the lesser of two evils, I mean, I couldn't imagine voting for Kamala Harris. But let me say, so I'm totally disgusted with voters. One other point I wanted to make was another news story, which is also seems to be disappearing. So I want, and I did see this also on RT. So here's the story. So Fox News on their website, apparently today for only an hour, put up a story reporting the following, that I don't know, was very recently in the last few days or whatever, U.S. intel officials flew into Iran for 2 hours, went into Tehran. Now, this is a story that may give you some hope that there were maybe, just possibly, some sane people still left within the infrastructure, not necessarily of the State Department, but maybe of intelligence circles or the military. So the story is that several U.S. intelligence officials flew into Iran and delivered to some Iranian officials the names of 10 Hamas agents that were directly connected to the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh, who are in Iran. In other words, Hamas agents who are in Iran, maybe, I don't know, are they in the government, but they're obviously infiltrated into Iran. And the story is that these U.S. intelligence officials gave them these 10 names of Hamas officials as a way of trying to dissuade Iran, I guess, from a military attack, saying, look, the U.S. officials are saying, look, here are the 10 people, but you don't know them. They're Hamas agents in your country, maybe in your
Joe,
government.
That's good. Joe, I love it. Thank you for the call, my friend. I look forward to many more. Excellent, Joe. Excellent.
Thanks,
we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, You have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Get more tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get more tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get more tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A five-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy hemp paste.
Hempaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
Look at all the lovely people. Look at all the lovely people.
Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people.
Well, just thinking about Joe's call just now, I think he can't have meant Hamas. He meant Mossad. They have to have Mossad operators in Iran who were responsible for the assassination. And that's what the U.S. intel are flying in with that information, which could be a good way to pacify Iran over attacking Israel. Layla is here. Layla, welcome back to the show. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that you mentioned Mossad, just as you need also to mention Zionism and all the other military Zionist gangs that created the artificial state of Israel. I think it is wrong, cruel, and unpatriotic as an American to keep saying Jews, Jews, Jews. It is not all American Jews. That is unkind in the extreme. But even worse, you're pushing them into a sense of defensiveness where they're going to feel that they are under attack simply for being Jews. You've got to be specific. You mentioned Miriam, what was her name? That
Adelson.
The woman that's
Adelson.
Driving.
Adelson. Sheldon Adelson's yes. Widow. Yeah.
Speak of the, when you speak of the devil, say the devil's name. Don't just generalize about evil in which is all over the world, in every color of skin, in every nation. There
yes.
are evil people who are usually atheists. There is a God, whether or not you know it, and that God has benevolent and wonderful influence, but it must be enacted by people who recognize one another as individuals. You've got this I should be among the first to condemn all Jews, and I have made that mistake. Many times I have fallen into the Jews. It is not the Jews. It is a political, military movement that is based on greed and a lust for power. And it happens to be that they used the original concept of the Jewish ideology, Jewish in the modern sense. It was from a region called Judah, which had many tribes in it. And in each tribe, there were many families. So it is far too diverse, even in its origins, to be able to now condense it, synthesize it into one word, Jews. It is not the Jews of the world. It is not the Jews of America. And on another point, without Jewish talent, there were a lot of people in the Russian Empire, in Germany, in Europe, who were very sophisticated, very intellectual, very culturally talented. They contributed significantly to the development of America. Think of the money that they brought in. They did not, yes, the atheists, Zionists brought it in to try and control another empire, because America was never truly separated from England. There may have been documents that declared independence, but paper, a piece of paper does nothing. Americans have always been enthralled by Europe, enthralled by England. This concept that we are descended from white Europeans. The hell you are. The white Europeans are from all over the world, including the Arabian, what we now call the Arabian Peninsula. They were originally from Europe. My own ancestry proves that. But anyway, well, I think that's a terrible mistake.
Excellent points, Layla, and coming from you, they have a special authority. I think you're completely right. I'm glad you're making that point of clarification. It's a common failure. Even I have fallen into it of late.
We all do. We hear things and we just repeat them sometimes without thinking. And the thing is that the American Jews are, many of them are just as loyal or more loyal than non-Jews. And
yes,
if they have their religion, we have no right to judge it, just as they have no right to judge Christianity or anything else. Everyone has their own set of spiritual beliefs, and we're entitled to that. It's part of our ancestry. But meanwhile, yeah, while we are living on this landmass that, let's face it, really is a North American Union, whether you like it or not, and that goes back formally to Vicente Fox in Mexico, Stephen Harper in Canada, and George W. Bush in 2005. That is when the North American Union was formalized, even though it was never put in paper. Just like you may have a constitution on paper, just as you may have a Declaration of Independence on paper, but none of it was more than simply words on paper. It is actions that determine what ultimately occurs. And the other thing I keep thinking, while we're talking about the invasion of these aliens who are coming to steal our lunch, I wonder how the people who were here before, and by the way, there were Caucasoid nations here 20 to 30,000 years ago. That will eventually become common knowledge. But the Mongoloids were not the first to inhabit North America by coming by the Beringian Strait. And one proof of that is Kennewick Man, which the Indians managed to, because of NAGPRA, N as a Norman, A, G, P as in Paul, R, A. NAGPRA prevented the investigation of that man's body. His skeleton was found in, it wasn't all together, but they found all the parts of his skeleton. And his haplogroup was X2A. My haplogroup is X2. So it originated in the Near East. So they came, according to some archaeologists who dare break against the dogma and jeopardize their careers, they may have come here during the so-called floods, when many land stones were submerged during the Great Flood,
right,
and many of them migrated in boats or whatever to the east coast of North America, and they inhabited North America and South America possibly 30 to 40,000 years ago. So the whole world, we're all Sorry, I don't mean to. Go ahead. I don't mean to go on too long.
That's wonderful stuff. It's just we had kind of an odd lapse in callers, and all of a sudden I got a half a dozen lined up now. I just want to say how much I appreciate your call. I think you're extremely timely, pointed, very, very appropriate. I look forward to our next conversation.
Yes, let's not create divisions amongst ourselves. If Jews want to join with us as Americans, North Americans or whatever, with the value of for our Western culture, let's not alienate them.
Yes.
That's all. Okay.
Well said. Very well said. Kevin in Seguin, Texas. Join the conversation, Kevin.
Yeah, Seguin, my friend. Thank you, Dr. Fetzer. You're doing great. Unbelievable energy you have, sir. Let me see. I want to pick up what Layla said, some of the things you said, because there are some excellent Jewish scholars out there. Ron Unz is doing great stuff, and Henry McCaw, great stuff. And, you know, and both of them actually expose the evil Jews, right, the ones that are doing evil. But I want to share one little thing. You know, in the book of Revelation, there's a thing called the harlot, the great harlot. And she is in Revelation chapter 17, and she sits on a beast, right? And she's drunk with the blood of the martyrs of Christ. Now, what happened in the Bible is, you know, it begins in Genesis and ends in Revelation. And there's a thing, this, the idea of a seed, you know, so in the beginning, it's like when God was done dealing with Israel around 700 B.C., he said, you know, through Isaiah, you know, how has the faithful city become an harlot? So the city of Jerusalem actually, I'm talking 700 B.C., in God's eyes, was a harlot. They were taken away to Babylon. They picked up all the Babylonian magic and all that stuff. And that's how the Talmud is a mixture, the Kabbalah is a mixture of pagan magic, et cetera, et cetera. Now, what happens is, you know, a grain is in the air and it becomes a droplet, and like a snow will gather around that particle. Are you there, Jim?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, guys, whatever, I got cut off. So I'm just saying, what it is there's an accumulation. There was a seed, and it came to the time of Christ, when Jesus came, time for the Jews to receive their Messiah. Many of them did. Many of them didn't. And from there on, they became like this gathering point of evil. Okay? A gathering, and that's why you get it. Ron's talked about this, how some of the people from the Phoenicians and the Canaanites took on the identity of the Jews. Khazars, they took on the identity of the Jews. So maybe, you know, maybe it's just this accumulation. But the key point is they reject Christ. That's the thing.
Kevin, good stuff. Today, kind of jam-packed. I appreciate the call very much. Joe wants to make a correction. Joe, I think we already caught it, that you didn't mean a network of Hamas. You meant a network of Mossad.
Thanks, Jim. As usual, you're way far ahead of me. 10 Mossad agents that were working in Iran. And you're exactly right. Maybe this is an attempt to dissuade Iran from attacking and starting World War III, right? But that's very key information. The other thing I'll say real quick, I don't want to get into a big debate, but when I say the Jews, just for Layla and anybody else, I'm not talking about all Jews, okay?
Yeah.
So the fact is that these people are Jewish. They don't want us to call them Jews. They want us to call them Zionists. We have to break the Jew taboo. And the final thing I'll say is this. So if I said to you, Italians like pasta, could you present 10 or 20 or 100 Italians who don't like pasta? You probably could, but that wouldn't change the fact to say Italians like pasta is true.
Joe,
and that's why I say the Jews are the problem.
Joe, Joe, you and Layla, I think, are both right, and it's a kind of a tough nut to crack, but I appreciate your calling back with that clarification, which we had sorted out. You make a very interesting point, pacifying Iran by giving them a network of Mossad in Iran who were responsible for the assassination. That was a good move. Joe, thanks again for that report. JP in Chicago. JP, join the conversation.
Yeah, you know, I don't agree with Layla and Joe on everything, but I agree with the First Amendment right and their right to say whatever they believe. God bless them. One thing about the JQ, and I'll just do a real quick summary. That word came up in the King James Bible around the 18th century. The people of ancient Judea were one of 12 tribes of the tribes of Israel. Israel's conquered 2-3 times throughout history. We go back in the history, but the Jews are kind of a fake name. Half of them come from, like Layla said, the genetic line is Asian. The Ashkenazi out of Khazarian were really hated around that area, but they were forced to find a religion between the Muslims and the Christians. They were hated because they were robbing and stealing everybody, the ancient Khazarians. That's up by China there, the ancient Mongolians. And they just took on Judaism, and they started intermarrying with Jews from Africa and different places. But their genetic line is Asian and Mongolian and Turkish. That's it. So they have no connection to Israel, and that's where a lot of them are just lying their pants off. So I won't go all day long with that. But, Jim, I liked your interview, SGD Report. Good man. Good interview. Good stuff.
Oh, thanks, JP. I like this, Sean. He is so good. And he added that clip from 60 Minutes where you see the fake Leonard Posner presented after he's had all the work done on his face. Isn't that an amazing story? God.
Would lend nothing like him. And you know what? That guy's from Wisconsin, so I respect him.
Sean, yeah. JP, thank you for the call. Thank you for the call.
Real quick, Renee.
Yeah? Go ahead.
I sent you an email on my Ukrainian report. Shows all those Ukrainian soldiers' tanks getting blown up. I have video footage of it all. Wu Wei report on JP Watchman. End of life.
I may be able to put it in on Monday's show. Thank you, JP. Good stuff. Renee, join the conversation. Renee, today a little concise. Go ahead, Renee.
Oh, high five, Layla. High five. I agree with you. The thing is, you know, everybody's talking about the 2%, and how can they control you? I'm put this in military terms. Maybe you boys can understand. Let's say you have a battle of 100 people. Okay, there's two people on one side, two people, okay? On this side is 98. Well, let's say, I'll bet you some slack, not even 98, maybe 80, maybe 60, maybe 50, I'll go down to 40, okay? What chance do those two people have against 40 unless the other people, those 40, are complete idiots or corrupt sellouts or whatever? If you people that understand military stuff, there is no way they could have controlled everything without a lot of cooperation from people. Now, I want to talk about Francis brought up. There is, it's on Joy Reid, but don't listen to what she says. It's the video that they have exposed, Project 2025 co-author caught on hidden camera confirming Trump's support. He's trying to distance himself. And wait, it's worse than that. There is a second document that's worse, okay? So they're hiding what's in it, and they plan on giving it to Trump on the first day of he holds office.
Renee, what are the key elements of this Project 2025? What are the key elements we need to understand?
Long to get into, y'all have to go look for yourself. But these people, like Cynthia mentioned, that Pilgrim Society, the people in the Pilgrim Society and this Heritage Foundation, look, their wet dream is a country that is a cross between The Handmaid's Tale and The Hunger Games. They're crazy, okay? Okay. The thing is, I know you depend on your Social Security and Medicare. Trump, when he left office, he signed cuts to Social Security and Medicare. And if those people get him in, they're going to cut it some more. Okay, the thing is,
y'all, I understand y'all need to just quit getting your news just from right-wing sources. You have to...
No, I don't. You wouldn't believe how much I'm exposed to the left. My wife is addicted to MSNBC, Renee. I get it coming out my ears.
Well, the thing is, and Jimmy Dore had this great woman on, too, where she's come out with a book called Americans Anonymous, and she made the same point Layla did, and I'm hearing this more and more, how I heard in her interview, she kind of wonders, there are a lot of people that are suspicious. We've never really cut ties with England, on paper and stuff, but they're still pulling our strings, and the thing is, I'm hearing this from multiple sources that this is the case. I'm highly suspicious. It's called Americans Anonymous, and I agree with
her.
In many ways, this nation, we need a national narcissism recovery program.
Because it's a weekend and I got three others, I want you to call back Monday. I'll give you more time, Renee. I like your calls. James in Charlotte. James, join a conversation. James.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Fetzer. I was going to call when you were saying that you have a very slack day, but the phone lines filled up fairly quickly. Let me pose a question to you that was posed to me a while back, and you know you can either answer now or give it some thought and come back and answer sometime later. Knowing what you know, knowing what we all know about the attacks of 9/11, if you could travel back in time to a few days before the attacks, what evidence would you gather that would completely falsify, completely debunk, completely destroy the official story, and how would you go about gathering that evidence?
You know, James, I published two books on 9/11. I mean, and I've done all these videos on 9/11. You could go onto my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, and just look at my 9/11 special, and you'll see how to debunk the whole official narrative, James. Not good for today when we're so pressed with time, but believe me, I've laid it all out in spades. And I appreciate the call, but the answer is out there. I'll return to this on another occasion, James. Thank you for the call. Dave in Michigan. Dave in Michigan, join the conversation.
Uncle Fetzer, thank you for taking my call. So I know we're running short, so I'll just stick to one thing. Laura, thank you for breaking the story about old Wolsey and his horse semen. Now, I was calling in, so I didn't get to hear the whole thing that she was talking about, but I don't know if she covered it. You asked, why was he drinking horse semen? He wasn't drinking it, Jim. He was swallowing it right from the horse. Now,
you're kidding me. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you.
You're telling me he was giving a horse a blowjob?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's a ritual, a satanic ritual. He's a faggot. Now, they say that he quit the army and joined. He didn't quit the military. What he did was he joined the homosexual branch of the military. It's called...
Send me some sources on this. I'm getting reports that it's a fabricated story, but I'd like to pursue it further. Could you send me some links or?
I can't. I'm blind. I don't use the computer. But Rentz,
you're right.
Rentz was the one who broke the story. He found the articles in the Minnesota newspaper. Now the branch of the military that Wolsey joined was called Seahorse Seamen.
Okay, I've got the story here, and it appears to be from a fake publication. Dave, I'll follow it up. Thank you, Dave. Alexander in Canada. Alexander, you don't have a lot of time, but the time is yours. No. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. I want to make a couple of points. Just to react to what Layla said and Renee said, See, so she said, oh, we should not attack all Jews, and she gets upset when she does that. Well, see, I just want to tell her that people get upset with that. That's too bad. They get upset. See, so let me explain. Am I saying that every Jew is a bad person? No. But see, sir, Israel speaks in the name of all the Jews. So see, it's the Israelis who started the problem. People are reacting to what Israel is doing. And Israel says that it's a Jewish state. It represents the Jewish people. It represents the Jewish religion, the Jewish culture, whatever. It's their fault. You see, sir. So I don't understand for the life of me. Layla says, oh, look, we should not attack any Jews. We should not be attacking Jews. Well, see, it's their fault that people attack Jews. And see, sir, you have to understand something, that Zionism and Judaism are the same. People like her believe that Zionism is this something that came out of the blue. No, it came from the religion. Now, see, sir, this whole Zionism and Judaism issue is a big, is long and complicated. I'm not going to talk about that now. Obviously, you don't have enough time.
But my
main point is that the anti-Semitism today is rational anti-Semitism. It's in reaction to all the problems that the Jews have instigated, which a lot of them are Israelis. And also, see, sir, the Jews in the United States as well. You have the Anti-Defamation League, the Jews in the New York Times, the Jews attacking the culture, the Jews in Hollywood, the Jews in the LGBT, and on and on. So, see, sir, and by the way, sir, I know a Jewish guy. I have a Jewish friend. You know what he said? When people attack Jews, they deserve it. It's all the Israelis' fault. So, see, sir, even Jews themselves understand why they get attacked.
Yeah.
And, see, sir, and see, sir, again, here we go again with Renee, who doesn't know what she's talking about. She says she's comparing the Jews, who are 2% of the population, with two people in an army. See, sir, the 2% of the population have the most money in the country. They control the media. They control the government. They control the banks. How many times do I have to tell this woman? When is this woman going to be educated?
Renee.
Jews are the most powerful ethnic group in the United States of America. Nobody can dare touch them. See, sir, when Netanyahu came to the United States government, everybody bowed down to him and gave him a
standing ovation. Alexander, thanks. Thank you, Alexander. Renee, you'll have an opportunity for a rebuttal on Monday. Meanwhile, everyone have a great weekend. Spend as much time with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about, because literally, especially after NATO and the U.S. have invaded Russia, we do not know how much time we have left. And support RBN. See you then.